How are you now? How are you now? How am I now? Glad I asked. I'm still sick. I think I got strep throat over here, folks. So this might be another short episode. But alas, hello and welcome to episode 77 of the Bottom 6 Minutes podcast presented by Habs Eyes on the Prize. I am Matt Drake. And we're here to talk about your Montreal Canadiens hitting the road for a quick second there to face the New York Rangers in New York. And the Rangers, they're not just one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. They are legitimate Stanley Cup contenders, I think, on most cards this year. I think a lot of pundits are going to be picking them to win it all. So, you know, I you guys know if you listen to this podcast, I'm not a big fan of the excuse of a back-to-back with pro athletes. But I will say, you know, going up against one of the best teams in the entire league and doing so on the second half of a back-to-back with some travel, I definitely had my misgivings about this game going into it. Didn't feel like there was much of a shot for the Habs to win this one. Even on a rested, even if it was a rested game, if they had 3 nights off before, they would have had a tough time with the New York Rangers. So honestly, I just wanted to see a half-decent showing. So I'll get to the recap. I'll let you guys know everything that happened in that game. We'll go through all the goals, but first, as you know, the tournament is here. Talking about March Madness, folks, and BetOnline is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contests out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today to get in on all the action, and remember to use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here. And the early goings for the start of the Montreal Canadiens game against the New York Rangers, pretty much as I expected, was favoring the Rangers. They're just gaining the zone far easier than you'd like to see, and they're pretty good at moving the puck around once they get into the zone to get some of that lateral movement on going on rather before they get their shots on goal. And Caden Primeau, honestly, in the early goings of this game, he had to make some really good saves. And he's kind of the difference maker for the first, I don't know, 5-6 minutes or so of that game. They could have got a quick one, the Rangers, with the amount of shots that they were getting on and the lateral movement that they had before those shots as well. Rangers get the first power play near the midway point. And on that power play, Caden Primeau, arguably the best penalty killer for the Habs, made a couple of really nice saves. And they managed to escape that without any damage. And then we get into the second half of the first period. And now the Habs start picking it up a little bit. Now they're starting to get some zone time. They're still being outshot pretty soundly, but in the dying seconds of the period, or about the final minute of the period anyways, Cole Caufield throws the puck up to the point. Shot comes down from David Savard, and he tips it. So Cole Caufield tips it on net, but Igor Shesterkin makes a save, and Cole Caufield gets the rebound back, goes below the goal line, and just throws it back up and banks it in off the back of Igor Shesterkin's leg. And just like that, it's 1-0 for the Montreal Canadiens with 30 seconds left on the clock. And they managed to take a 1-0 lead into the second period, despite being outshot 17-12 in that first period by the New York Rangers. Honestly, couldn't have scripted a better ending to that period if you're the Montreal Canadiens. We go into the second, and it's basically the same story, though. The Rangers, they're getting everything for the first few minutes. Habs can't get shit going until they get one good shift from their top line. That seems to kind of reverse their fortunes a little bit. But just past the midway point of the period, the Rangers get a power play. Juraj Slafkovský sent off for a trip in the offensive zone. So not a penalty you'd like to see him take that far away from his own net. It was perhaps a bit of a dive, but, you know, I'm not going to dwell on that too much. It doesn't really matter. Mika Zibanejad gets it on the left side. He's trying to make a pass down to Chris Kreider on the other side of the net, but it deflects off the skate of Yoel Armia and goes through the wickets on Caden Primeau, and it's 1-1 just like that. Habs, you know, it takes them a while to get their first chance in the power play, but with 18 seconds left in the period, Will Cooley gets a tripping penalty of his own. Alex Newhook rings one off the post off that draw, basically, in the offensive zone, but that's all they got. They got to see if they can come up with something in the minute and a half that they'll have remaining on the other side at the beginning of the third period. Unfortunately, third period starts. They cannot get anything on that power play. Outside of one really good shot by Juraj Slafkovský, he actually got a shot from the right side, put it off the mask of Igor Shesterkin, and broke his mask. They had to go into the dressing room and get his spare mask for the remainder of the game because Slafkovský straight up broke it. Really violent shot there from the former first overall pick of the Montreal Canadiens. And not long after that power play ends and the Habs go scoreless on it, they get called for hooking. It's Yoel Armia that goes to the box. That penalty I did have a problem with. That was just a stick lift. I don't know why they called it a hook. And of course, you know, you get kind of a bullshit call. You know that a team as good as the Rangers are going to capitalize on it. This time it's Chris Kreider in front of the net. Point shot comes down. He just gets a nice tip on it. And just like that, it's 2-1 for the Rangers. And then not long after that, they get a rush chance. This time it's a nice pass out front from Alexis Lafrenière over to Artemi Panarin. And of course, he's going to get one that close to the net. He's not going to miss. It's 3-1 for the Rangers. Not looking great for the Montreal Canadiens. But we get past the midway point of the period. Mike Matheson, he's getting ready to make an exit pass in his own zone. He's kind of having a look, seeing what his options are, and he throws a Hail Mary pass all the way down the ice and hits Alex Newhook tape to tape for a breakaway from the blue line in. And Alex Newhook says, forget a deke, and just rips it. Top Ched. 3-2 is your score. The Habs are within a goal. They're trying to make a game out of this, but alas, with just over 3 minutes left to play, Mika Zibanejad gets it after a bad turnover. It was kind of a bit of a cafouillage between Justin Barron and Josh Anderson. They give the puck away, and it goes over to Mika Zibanejad. He's at the side of the net, and he makes it 4-2 just like that. And the Habs would pull Caden Primeau. They try and give it a run there at the end with the extra skater, but Alexis Lafrenière would get an empty netter. That would make it 5-2, and that was your final. And look, I'm not upset about that one, and I'm going to tell you why right now. And I know Tank Nation is going to be following this very closely. Ottawa and Arizona both won tonight. So the result of that game brings Montreal into fifth last in the league, and therefore 8.5% chances at the number one overall pick, and their best chance at being fifth overall pick. So that was a big one for the Tank. And honestly, I think you go up against a team like the Rangers, you're expecting to lose. And as a matter of fact, you're probably expecting to lose even worse than you did. So I really don't think that this was a bad night for the Montreal Canadiens at all. I thought they showed a lot of effort. They showed no quit in that game. And even though they lost 5-2, I still felt like they showed some decent play overall. At least, you know, not proving that they're on the same level as the Rangers. That's obviously a different beast at this point. But proving that they've got some players that can skate with that team. And with some adjustments, they could get closer to that level in the next couple of years. So good night for the Tank, and really not a bad night for the team overall, I would say. That is, I suppose, a good segue to the silver lining of the night. And for me on this night, I'm going to give you several, but the number one for me was Caden Primeau. He faced 45 shots in that game. You know, you lose a game 5-2. It's kind of hard. It's weird to say that your goaltender would be your silver lining in that game. But he faced 45 shots from one of the top teams in the league, certainly the top team in the Eastern Conference right now. I don't know how you can possibly fault him for any of the goals that happened. He played a very, very, very solid game in net. And his solid games have typically come on home ice. It was nice to see him get a good one on the road. Seemed like very early on they were putting a lot of pucks on net, and that seems to be a recipe for success with him when he gets a lot of shots early. If he doesn't let in an early goal, it seems like he's going to make it difficult for you for the rest of the night. And he did. He made it very difficult for the Rangers. They were not getting any easy ones. It required tips. It required giveaways. None of those goals could be faulted to him whatsoever. So really a great game from him, and I think going into next year, this is precisely what they need him to be able to do, is that sometimes they're going to need him to go out there against superior teams like the Rangers, like the Bruins. It's not going to be Montembeau every time. And Montembeau, obviously, he got pulled from the game last night, so they weren't going to send him back out there again tonight and just be like, here you go, throw him to the Wolves. So they sent Primeau out there. So even though he had to finish the game last night for us, he gets back out there and plays a really nice overall effort against the Rangers. So really enjoyed that from Caden Primeau. That's that took some guts, and that took some really nice ability from him as well. So great game, well-deserved silver lining of the night. And we will keep going. I would also like to single out Alex Newhook. Alex Newhook scored a beautiful goal for the Montreal Canadiens. Obviously a bit of a failed comeback bid there, but doesn't really matter, right? Like I said, we're looking at the Tankathon odds right now for the lottery anyways. Alex Newhook, I feel like, is not getting enough credit for how well he's played this season. He has already tied last year's point total. He had, what did he have? I'm going to double check that now. Yeah, he had 30 points last year with the Colorado Avalanche in 82 games. He now has 30 points with the Montreal Canadiens in 50 games. So he has tied his point total in 30 fewer games than he did, and he's also doing it on a far inferior team. Going from Colorado to Montreal, it's a big step down in terms of overall team quality. Let's be honest with ourselves, right? So I don't think that Alex Newhook is getting enough credit. I think that Kent Hughes may have pulled off another Kirby Doc-esque trade there, where we got a player that was undervalued by the team he was with and is capable of a lot more in the right system and with the right coaching. And Alex Newhook's been fantastic. He's been playing since he came back from his injury, mostly at center, where he's not at his best, I think. I think he's more best served at the wing. I've said that many, many times on this podcast. And still, he's managed to be a part, be a very important part of very effective second lines with whoever they put him with. Been a big part of Yoel Armia's resurgence this season, has been playing with Alex Newhook game in and game out. I think he's making a huge difference for this team right now, and I'm really excited to see what he can do next year. I'm really obviously hoping that the team stays healthy and that he stays healthy as well, because that's going to be important towards them taking a step forward. But I think you can already call this season a huge step forward for him. He's closing in. He's not quite at a career high. His career high was 33 points. I want to say 2 years ago with the Avalanche. I'm not positive, but he's probably going to equal that mark, if not pass it this season before it's all done. And I think that's worth something. I think that we should be heaping praise on him, because he's faced some adversity. Obviously had to come from a contending team over to a lottery team and try to find his way playing in a much more difficult situation, and he's done so admirably, and he's been able to carry some well, I don't want to say carry, but he's been able to elevate some players that maybe were struggling a little bit previously in different roles with the Canadiens, like Brandon Gallagher, like Yoel Armia. So really big kudos to him, and a well-deserved silver lining of the night to him as well. And we can keep going as well with some more forwards. Cole Caulfield, how about him? Right now on a four-game goal streak. I think I talked about him a little bit in last night's episode, but I got to bring him up again because I talked about it in the article that I posted on Habs Eyes and the Prize today before the game. You look at Cole Caulfield's shooting percentage this season, it's at 8%. That's way lower than his career average, and it was never going to stay there forever. It wasn't. If you haven't read my article, you can check it out on Habs Eyes and the Prize. Or if you don't want to read my article, just go to NHL Edge and take a look at the comparative stats of Cole Caulfield from last year to this year, right? The NHL's own data has him shooting the puck harder than he ever has and shooting the puck more often than he ever has, but it's not going in at the same rate. So a lot of people have talked about whether or not his surgery maybe affected him, and that's the reason that he hasn't been scoring as much. I don't think that's the case. I think really it's more a case of just luck, and like maybe the surgery played a small part in that, but he's put more rubber on net this season than he ever has, but they're just not going in at the same rate. And when that happens to shooters, you know eventually there's going to come regression to the mean, which is going to bring you back to your average shooting percentage. I ran the calculations, right? His average shooting percentage, if you remove this season entirely, is like 14%. If you include this season at 8%, which drags it down a little bit, is 12.5. So either one of those two percentages, anything in between those, would have put him in line this season for somewhere between 35 and 42 goals. And I mean as of now. I don't mean by the end of the season, because he's still got more games. I'm basing this only off of how many shots he's taken right now, that he would already have between 35 and 42 goals. That's nuts. That's nuts. Just getting back to his average shooting percentage would have that much of an effect on his goal scoring. So we don't need to be worried about Cole Caulfield. It's going to turn around, and we may already be seeing it turn around right now. I mean, he's on a four-game goal streak. So look, if he carries that into next season, look out, because that top line is going to be a nightmare. That's it for forwards, really. I don't really have anybody else to single out, but I would like to spend a little bit of time on the defense before I end this podcast, because my throat's killing me. Justin Barron, I thought he had another really good game. That's two in a row that he's had since coming up. It's weird. We were talking about it in the EOTB Slack chat. Like, he actually looks better in the NHL than he has in the AHL. It almost makes you wonder if you're better off just like saying, all right, we're just going to throw you to the Wolves every night and you're going to play in the NHL. But of course, we know that there are other defensemen that deserve that spot as well. So it's a tough spot. He might be a candidate for getting packaged in a trade in the offseason here to try and improve the forward group, because we know that's something they're going to have to do. They're not going to be able to keep all of the defensemen that they have and play all of the defensemen that they have. So there's going to come a point where management's going to have to make a decision on some of those D, and some of them are going to have to get traded. And if Justin Barron can get a few more games in the NHL and keep playing like this, he might draw some interest. Who knows? So kudos to him. Really good game. David Savard, I felt, played like a really good game in that one. Tough role. You know he's going to be eating tough minutes against the best that the Rangers have to offer. Blocking shots, getting physical, so doing the same things that he always does. And then Mike Matheson. That pass to Alex Newhook was just sublime. That's such a beautiful pass. It's precisely the kind of thing that Mike Matheson can do that just gives you that wow factor aspect in his game that a lot of other guys just simply do not have. And Mike Matheson does things like that on a nightly basis. And he consistently manages to make up for his own deficiencies. Like when he makes a brain fart, when he does something that drives me up the wall, the very next shift, he'll go out and do something beautiful like that. It's just, he's an entertaining hockey player to watch. And I think there is a place for him with the Montreal Canadiens moving forward next season and beyond even. But I also think there's a strong possibility that he ends up on the trade block. I just think that the performance of their defensive players in general is opening up a lot of really interesting possibilities for Kent Hughes when it comes to trades in the offseason and at the draft. There's going to be teams that are going to be hungry to add defensive players, and Kent Hughes happens to have an abundance of young defensive players, and he's not going to be able to ice all of them when this team is ready to compete. So he's going to have to shit or get off the pot, and that's going to require him to trade some of these guys. So it could get very interesting for the Montreal Canadiens as early as this offseason. I'm going to cut it off there because my throat is absolutely killing me. I apologize for having the short episode here, folks, but hopefully by Tuesday night for the next one, I'll be back to normal. We're running just over 17 minutes. Alors, une soirée pas mal typique pour les employés de soutien. We are on Spotify, Google Play, Apple. I'm on Twitter at DrakeMT. Drop me a follow. I would appreciate that very much. This episode was brought to you by BetOnline. Thank you, as always, for listening. And, of course, à la prochaine.